This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, I'm Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the Pantheon Network.
And welcome to No Filler, the music podcast dedicated to sharing the often overlooked hidden gems that fill the space between the singles on our favorite records. My name's Quentin. With me, as always, is my brother Travis. And we are diving into the short-lived shoegaze indie rock from the early 90s, Majesty Crush. I'm really excited about this, Trav.
I was getting some emo, at least lyrically. Like it was, and this is, that was probably early 90s track, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting because, you know, obviously very fuzzy guitars at the beginning, but like lyrically and even the way he's singing, it makes me think of emo stuff. But yeah, I'm coming in completely cold here, Q. I've never heard these guys before, never heard of him before. So from what you've been telling me and from what I just heard, very curious to hear what else they...
Yeah, man.
You know, what else they could do.
Yeah, so they dropped one full-length album in 93 called Love 15. So that song you just heard in the intro was called Boyfriend, which is the opening track.
Dude, even the song name sounds like an emo song, dude. It basically sounds like it's a guy thinking about, like, I'm gonna steal your boyfriend away from you.
That's exactly what it is, dude. So let's name off the roster here. So we've got lead singer David Strouder, bassist Hobie Eichlin, guitarist Michael Siegel, and drummer Odell Nails III.
There's three of them.
Yeah, that's the third one, dude. They came around right as grunge was exploding. I mean, at least by the time they dropped their one studio album, they got overshadowed by the grunge craze. And
that's just what happened with shoegaze, man. I think we've heard about that. Like we've talked about that before, how, you know, shoegaze was kind of on the up and ups, and then grunge came and said, nah, move aside.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like they had all, you know, the heavy grunge guitars at some points. They also had the wall of sound, you know, shoegaze guitar and sound. But then, yeah, out of nowhere, out of left field, his voice, man, and his the stories that he tells, man, are just different. They're dark and they're unsettling, really. A lot of his songs are about stalkers and like just obsessing over women. Like kind of this song, Boyfriend. I get on a train, you're sitting right there, I've never seen you before, how can I ever forget? Then he says, seems like your boyfriend right there. So he's just sitting there on the train, he sees this pretty girl across the way. There's a guy that looks like it's probably her boyfriend. And then he just goes into this whole like obsession with this girl that he sees.
He sounds like kind of a creep, Q.
And I don't know, but he has another song called Number One Fan that is written about...
It's not getting any better.
It's not written about him. It's about... it's a song inspired by John Hinckley Jr.
Oh, who
had a huge crush on Jodie Foster.
That's a cool concept for a song.
That's kind of where his head space was.
So is it coming from the perspective of John Hinckley? Probably, like Number One Fan.
Yeah.
Like you're,
yeah, exactly. Okay, like I would do literally anything for you.
Okay.
I'd kill the president for your love is one of the lyrics in that song.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if that had anything to do with like them just getting kind of slept on, you know, in the 90s.
Sure.
But also the record label that released Love 15, it was called Dolly Records, folded in and got absorbed by its parent record label. So basically that translates to they got dropped by their label because it didn't, like, the support wasn't continuing after that point. So, you know, you lose the support of your record label on your debut record, you know, like...
Dude, did that happen with Spoon?
Yeah, actually.
I think it was one of their earlier... Yeah, early records. They just didn't get the promotion from their label that they needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so here's a really good... So I'm pulling a lot of this info from a really good article by from Fader... There's a lot of articles coming out about these guys now because of this double album reissue that just came out. Basically, like, you know, they're reclaiming their spot now. That's what they're kind of hoping for.
Okay.
The lead singer was shot by police, so he was kind of a manic dude. Kind of not surprising by the lyrics. And he was just kind of in your face as a performer. And you know, that was one thing that one of the members of the band said, like, we weren't gazing at our shoes, man. Like, as a band, we were in your face and you're just different. But yeah, Strotter was shot and killed by police in 2017. He was addicted to pain meds and, you know, so he was kind of unstable and he apparently was threatening officers with an axe. So anyways, yeah, I mean, I don't mean to bring all that up for any particular reason, but only to say that, like, the founding members of the surviving members of the band are really hoping that this, you know, double reissue kind of sheds light again on the music that he wrote and the music they were able to create together and kind of get, you know, get more support from the new generation for, you know, just getting excited about Majesty Crush again. And let me tell you something, dude. This is phenomenal, dude. Okay. It's just crazy that most of this music on this double EP was in the span of about 2 years, because the majority of the album is Love 15 in its entirety, and then there's just a handful of kind of singles and B sides from EPs and rarities that finish off the album. So dude, let's just jump right into it, man. It's time. It's just music heavy episode on this one.
All right.
Let's do it, dude. All right, we're going to go in order as well. Yeah, it's tough to pick a favorite, dude, but this one's up there for me. So this is track 4 off the record. This is called Brand.
Yeah.
Wow, man. I guess I was I found myself like just, I guess, kind of captivated by it a little bit.
It's his voice, dude.
And like, they were doing some really interesting things with his voice and like his phrasings and stuff. And yeah, interesting, man. Really interesting. Because it's, they got a lot of things going on here, you know, that make them kind of different.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes me wonder too, if that was, you know, one of the reasons they didn't really get to the mainstream. I mean, I think the major blow was the record falling out.
Yeah.
The record label falling out. But yeah, yeah, that's, I mean, and I was hunting for old, you know, clips from review. I wanted to read reviews mm-hmm. from the 90s, you know, yeah. from this record release at the time that it came out, but I couldn't find anything. But yeah, dude, his lyrics are really, I mean, just, he's not hiding anything, you know? Like, I wake up with a bottle in my hands. I go to bed with a bottle touching my lips. Mm-hmm. I wake up with a stogie in my hands. I go to bed with a stogie burning my lips. And I think the whole song is about, he says, I have a girl who wakes me up with my favorite brand. My guess is favorite brand of cigarettes or favorite brand of liquor. Because
yeah, yeah,
that's what the song's about.
Or is he saying favorite brand, like his girlfriend?
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But either way, yeah, that's obviously what stands out, I think, is Strouder and his presence on the recordings. And I mean, just from what I've read, like, apparently he was pretty difficult to work with because, you know, he was neurodivergent and had a lot of issues. But mm-hmm. yeah, this music that he made, dude, and what they, instrumentation they provided as, you know, backing that was just, yeah, mm-hmm. really different.
Kind of, you know, you can hear like the 80s new wave influence maybe a little bit there, you know. And I would think that these guys were probably influenced by the 80s, you know, if they're making music in the 90s, the early 90s, you know, we're coming out of the 80s. It's definitely part of it. I mean, it's slow, you know, obviously shoegaze, the origins of shoegaze were the 80s. So, but yeah, his voice was just really compelling.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, so this part here I like in this Fader article. It says, if anything, Majesty Crush saw themselves as outsiders by virtue of being anti-machismo. At a time when grunge was entering the mainstream and things turned plaid and a little boring. So Nails, the drummer, says here, our audiences were young, passionate, and tapped into something emotional and feminine. And Eichlin goes on to say, we wrote songs you'd listen to in a cold room on a depressing Sunday evening.
Yeah, the word machismo jumped out at me there because that is an exact word that the lead singer of Catherine Wheel used in an interview.
That's right.
He said basically the same kind of thing where it's like, you know, we're rock, you know, loud rock without the machismo, you know.
Yeah.
That was Rob Dickinson of Catherine Wheel. Kind of saying the same thing where it's like, you know, it's, you know, this makes sense, dude. When grunge was happening and like, yeah, lots of testosterone like around grunge and like the loud rock and stuff like that, you know, kind of flirting with metal here and there. Like I can see how a lot of bands were probably like, I don't want to be affiliated with that. You know what I mean? Like totally. all that like frontman machismo, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is interesting because, like they said, like we weren't all just staring at our shoes, like our, you know, we were in your face.
It sounds like a lot of bands didn't like the shoegaze label either.
I can understand that, especially like now, decades later. You know, shoegaze is just what it is. But like that mm-hmm. was a new phrase, and I could totally understand how they could be like, that sounds like an insult. You know?
Yeah. I keep saying machismo because that's how Dickinson pronounced it, but it, you know, because he's like British, but or English, it's machismo
around. Is it really? Yeah. No, it's not.
I looked it up, bro. I just looked it up right now because I wanted to make sure I said it right. And machismo? if you look up the pronunciation of it, there it's very clear that it's cheese, machismo.
Okay. I mean, I'm actually, you know what, I'm cool with that.
I just like think that, actually. Honestly, I think
it works.
It works either way.
I mean, machismo, it sounds to me like it's, you know, super cheesy. And I think that works for what the definition of it.
Totally.
All right, man. So
did you listen to the new Krong band, by the way?
Yeah, I did. Just, okay. Right. just more check. Of the same, more yep. of the same, but
they know what they're doing.
Can't help but love it. Yeah. It's kind of they said it's like a falling back to their roots kind of thing. Just being as a trio, dude. I heard that there was an interview on NPR with them, and I can't remember her name, bass player off the top of my head. But for their first two recordings, they did it in, and I'm gonna, don't quote me on this, but in like a barn, I believe, where a lot of, you know, birds chirping and trees swaying in the wind, they could hear it while they were recording. But they were recording in a studio for this one, so they actually had the record producer pipe in sound effects into their headphones, so they could still hear the birds chirping and the trees swaying while they were playing.
That's how you get a headspace right there.
Yeah, man. All right, so speaking of kind of stalker obsession lyrics, this next song, which is a killer track, is called Oh, no. Whoops. It's called Chichilina, and it is a...
beg your pardon?
Exactly. It's a song about Strouder's obsession with an adult film actress.
This guy needs to calm down.
An Italian you know adult I mean? Film actress named Chichilina.
He needs to chill out, dude.
I mean, dude, this is his demons are coming out on these records. All right, so here we go. This is Chichilina.
Yeah, it's I'm trying to place them somewhere, and I can't do it. Which is what's great about them is that, you know,
you can't do it.
You know, and maybe that's another reason they didn't get any attention. Like, I feel like labels and especially like MTV and stuff, they were looking for grunge. You know what I mean? They wanted to put grunge on the airwaves. You know. And they couldn't put these guys neatly in a box anymore.
In Utero, you know? Came out in 93, the same year that this record came out.
Nobody had time for any other band except
Love 15 came out, yeah.
Except for Nirvana and any band that remotely sounded like them, you know.
But you know what, dude? That's fine because
yeah,
now we get to hear them now.
It's good that they're getting some attention again, you know.
For sure. Okay, so we got one more song off of Love 15, and then we got a couple more tracks that were singles and you know B-sides and whatnot. So here we go. This is actually the last track on Love 15. This might be my favorite one, man. This just something. This one's. I'm gonna say it. Haunting.
Okay.
One of our favorite describing words.
Here we go.
This song is called Horse. And I think we're gonna have to do two clips on this one, brother.
All right. Shout out to the backing vocals.
Yeah.
I think that's the second song from your selections here that you know, what they're doing with those background vocals is kind of surprising, I guess. Like, this was kind of what I was saying, like the first song, like where I was just saying like, wow, I'm just really kind of like, I'm finding myself like paying attention to the song because they take it in places you're not expecting it to go.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, I think vocally, that's for sure.
Vocally for sure, man. He's
a very interesting singer.
Quivering sound. Yeah. Like just, yeah, vulnerable. And mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, just in your, for a voice that's, you know, breathy and I mean, kind of similar to some dream pop
mm-hmm.
artists, for, you know, for that style of voice, it's still just like in your face in sure. a way, somehow. Yeah. And yeah, I was trying to just off the top of my head quote from this article earlier about, you know, how you know, we're not staring at our shoes. Here's the quote, the exact quote here. It says, while Majesty Crush are often grouped in as part of the resurgent genre, they're talking about shoegaze, they don't feel their music really belongs as part of the scene. We had a dedicated frontman, Eichlin argues. It wasn't all pedals and obscure lyrics. We had a guy stalking the stage and getting in people's faces.
Mm.
So that just imagine their live shows, man. I mean, he was just in your face and just, yeah, he was a troubled man. And I'm sure that just made their shows just super intense. So yeah, I think I'm just going to pick up where we left off here and just kind of fade in from there. Just a little bit more of this track because, it goes other places here. Here we go.
Shooketh, Q. Consider me shooketh. In terms of like you said, that kind of the haunting quality of it.
Yeah, the building up and just the droniness of it, just dragging on at the end there.
So I've been trying to put my finger on like who he reminds me of vocally, and I've been saying like he's very unique, obviously, but I think he's got a little bit of Bono in him.
Just a little bit. I caught on that too. And you know what? I was afraid that we were going to say that guy's name on this podcast tonight.
It's just, his name is Bono. No big deal. what do you have against Bono?
I don't even want to get into it, man. But,
all right.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I also get a little bit of, oh, what's his name? Smith, The Cure.
Robert Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. And that's where I was saying, like, you know, you can hear some of the, you know, some of that influence, some of the, like, the new wave influence from the 80s, like the guitar tone and all that stuff as well. They're definitely not, I wouldn't call them a shoegaze band.
I wouldn't either. Yeah. And I totally get why they're, you know, kind of peeved that they got thrown into that category.
And I don't know if it's just like, if you get a whiff of fuzz, if you instantly got labeled.
A little grungy fuzz.
That, yeah.
Equals shoegaze.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So this actually came out in 92. So a year prior, maybe it was just a few months prior, who knows, depending on, you know, the month when these were released. But this song was on a little 5-track EP called Fan that had Number One Fan on it. It had Horse, which is the song we just played. And then the last song on that record is this one we're about to play. It's another great one, man. No surprise. They're all really good record all the way through, man. If you haven't caught on to that yet, definitely worth listening to all the way through. But yeah, this song is called Worry.
Yeah, so that's like the second time where they've done this really great job, like doing a slow build and then like this nice big release, you know, where it kind of opens up.
Yeah.
So another artist that I just thought about, and I think I brought them last year on one of the What You Heard episodes last year, this early dream pop group called A.R. Kane. I don't know if you remember them or not.
Man, yeah. Speaking of them, they mentioned ARKane in this record, one of the members of the group. Let me see if I can find it.
Dude, I just fucking nailed it, is what you're saying.
So yeah, he says, okay, yeah. So the band formed in 1990, but had known each other for much longer. Nails and Eichland first played together in the 80s darkwave industrial band Spawn Ranch. Gotta look them up, dude. Mm. When that group ended, they took the chance to work with Strouder, a school friend of Nails, and recruited guitarist Michael Siegel, who they knew as the guy who would recommend the music by ARKane and other obscure but life-altering albums from his job behind the counter at the local Play It Again Records.
Wow.
So there you go, man. That was the stuff they were into.
Okay. Well, nailed it.
Yeah, you did, dude. Nailed it. All right, man. So I got one more track. And this is from a little five-piece EP from 1994. So this was 1 year after Love 15 was released. The EP is called Sans Muscles. And this song is called Sign.
Awesome track. Good way to end the episode.
That's where they were heading, dude. And then, they just kind of petered out after that. Broke up in 95.
That's too bad, man.
Yeah, really.
So that was their last record?
Yeah, I think so. It was just a little EP, like I said. Yeah, and then there was a split EP.
Okay.
You know, where there was them and another group.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 96, P.S. I Love You comes out, and that is Strouder's solo album and his only solo album. So they split. He did his own thing. I actually listened to a few tracks off of it. It's just more of the same, which is cool. But it's just, you know, it's not that backing band behind him. But yeah, he's still there doing his thing just by himself. But yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
Yeah, this was kind of I just kind of pulled a 180 on what band I wanted to cover for this week, because I saw a little blurb about this record on Pitchfork. I saw the word shoegaze and I go, hello. And I press play. And then I was just so like taken aback by it that I just figured this was definitely deserving of one of our deep dives for the year.
Totally. Well, it's good to also throw in, you know, a band that you may not have heard of, you know, and in fact, you probably haven't heard of them. Yeah. Cause if we look back at like, what have we covered so far this year in terms of our deep dives? We did Dinosaur Jr. Most people have heard of Dinosaur Jr. We did
Cocteau Twins. Sorry.
We did Deftones.
Deftones.
And now we're here.
Majesty Crush.
So that means we did.
Yeah. So where do we go from here?
I mean, Dinosaur Jr., I think that album came out in the 80s. The one that we covered, the first one that we did. It was a 87. And then Cocteau Twins was 90s, I think, the record that we did. Was maybe the one, or was that another 80s one? I think that was another 80s record.
Head Over Heels, yeah, 83, brother.
Okay, and now, okay, so we spent a couple of episodes in the 80s and then a couple episodes in the 90s, because Around the Fair was 97, this record's 93, you said?
Well, the majority of the tracks were from Love 15 from 93.
I got a good one for us to cover, dude. And I haven't even talked about or thought about covering this record until just now. We're going to go to the year 2021.
Whoa.
Let's spend some time in this century, dude. You know?
Sure. Yeah, totally.
I'm going to tease it right now, dude.
Drop it.
Avlov.
It's fun to say.
Does that not mean anything to you? I thought you were going to recognize that band. Okay.
I recognize the album covers, but
you are gonna love this record, man. We're gonna talk about this album called Buds, came out in 2021. Okay. Damn, this is a great album. It's kind of just a great indie rock record.
Awesome.
From 2021. I brought one song off of this record years ago, a couple of years ago, probably. For What You Heard. So it's a great, great record. And I think it's a good way to mix it up because this is just straight up indie rock, man. And it's really, awesome. Really good.
Awesome.
All right. So that'll be sometime in May, I guess closer to the end of May when that drops. But between now and then, we will have another What You Heard episode out. And I've already got some great tunes lined up, Q.
Yeah, me too, man.
So, you know, we should probably intro that episode with the Krong Bin track. What do you think?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, dude. We like to intro brand new tracks on those episodes, so that'll still be somewhat fresh.
Unless something else even fresher comes out.
True. But you know, Krong Bin, they're from Houston. You know, you gotta love them. That's
true. Our hometown.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like any other famous Houston just dropped a record that everybody's been talking about. Houstonian.
Are you talking about Beyonce?
I'm talking about Beyonce, Cowboy Carter.
Yeah. I haven't listened to any of that, but I got nothing but respect. Sure. You know, do what you want.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
It sounds like an interesting record. She collaborated with a bunch of, country musicians, I guess. Well, I mean, there's like it's all over the map. Like Miley Cyrus is on the record. Posty's on there. Post Malone, but like Dolly Parton's on there, Willie Nelson's on there. It's an interesting concept, I guess,
for a record. If you get Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson on your record, you know, I feel like that's a blessing. You get the blessing from the country gods.
You did something, you know? Right.
Who else matters in the world of country?
Sure.
Than Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson.
You're right, dude.
All right, so that's it for tonight. Or you know what? Today, whenever you're listening to this. Yeah. as always, check us out on the Pantheon Podcast Network. That is your home for music lovers. Right?
That's right, Q.
Okay. You can find a lot of great music-centered podcasts on the network. That's pantheonpodcasts.com. @PantheonPodcasts on Instagram. Check us out there as well at No Fiddler Podcast. That is our main means of communique. So send us a message on Instagram. Let us know what you've been hearing, what kind of music you've been into. If you have another, you know, band that you think is in the same band as Majesty Crush or, you know, something just similar vibes, send them our way. We'll give it a listen. If you like it, we'll fade us out on our What You Heard episode with a pick from one of our listeners. At No Fiddler Podcast is the handle. And we're going to fade us out with another track off of Sans Muscles from 94 from Majesty Crush. This one is called If JFA Were Still Together. Guess what that's in reference to, Travis?
I think I know. Yeah.
JFA is a punk rock group.
Oh, that's just JFK, and I was like, man, this subject, it's getting darker and darker.
Well, I mean, JFA is, it's a
Jodie Foster's Army. Like a
Jodie Foster's Army, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Maybe a little nod to Number One Fan. So yeah, that's how we're going to fade us out. And thanks so much, as always, for listening. We'll come at you in a few weeks with our What You Heard episode for April. And until next time, my name's Quentin.
And I'm Travis.
Y'all take care.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.